We're going to read the first 19 verses of the first chapter of the book of Colossians. So let's stand together, please, in reverence to the reading of God's word, Colossians chapter number 1. And we'll begin in verse number 1, Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel which is coming to you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doeth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. I might just read real quickly a verse that Brother Phil Gabbard, I won't have you turn there, the last verse he read in Sunday school. It's always neat to watch how God ties things together, but the last verse he read was 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We're going to preach on the invisible Creator, the invisible Creator. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd help me as I preach. Lord, I want to be a blessing to God's people. I'd like, Lord, very much for the Word of God to do a work in each and every heart here. Now, that's not going to happen, Lord, if we allow Satan to distract us. It's not going to happen if we don't focus, pay attention, ask the Lord to give us something. So, Lord, I want to do my part. I pray, God, that you'd help every single person that's here today to do their part, to participate also in the message by listening, focusing in, asking for the Holy Spirit to speak clearly to them. I love the song, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." Lord, it'd be a shame if the Holy Spirit of God moved and blessed and helped and strengthened and taught most of the people in here. Lord, he touched their lives in some way, and there'd be somebody that would miss, Lord, miss that. So I pray that we'd all ask, we'd all seek, we'd all focus in, and Lord, do something sweet in our lives today. If there's someone here without Jesus as Savior, I pray that they'd be saved. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, and you may be seated. I want you to look at verse number 15. It says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature?" Who is referring back to verse number 13 when it talks about God's dear Son. This, of course, is talking about Jesus Christ. If we were to select a theme for the first 19 verses of the book of Colossians, and again, honestly, if we were asked to select a theme for the entire book of Colossians, they would be one and the same. The theme of Colossians is the preeminence of Jesus Christ. From the first verse to the last, you'll be hard-pressed upon to find but a handful of verses that do not directly or indirectly reference the person or work of our Lord and Savior. I was glancing up here as I was waiting for the special to conclude, and I just looked down through chapter 2, and I looked in verse number 2 of chapter 2, and I saw Christ at the end of that. In verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures, whom, referring back to Christ. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. And then in verse 5, the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Verse 7, rooted and built up in Him. Now folks, listen to me. It starts in verse 1 and it's like a train that goes all the way through. It doesn't miss a beat. This is about Jesus Christ and what He wants to do in your life, what He did for you, and the power that we can receive by fellowshipping and losing our lives in Him. Jesus Christ, I know, is the theme of all of the Bible, but I think it's in a special way the theme of the book of Colossians. Colossians is a letter about Jesus found in a book about Jesus. Amen. You'll learn much about Jesus Christ. You'll learn to love Him more by reading and studying the book of Colossians. Now, where are we going with this? One of the truths we learn about Jesus Christ in this book is that He is eternal. He is eternal. That's important that you understand that. He preexisted before Bethlehem, before the star, before three wise men, before the singing angels and the shepherds. He preexisted before a virgin conceived a child. Jesus Christ is a member of the eternal triune God, the Trinity made up of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ was never created, but was instead the creator of all things. This morning I want to focus on this word found in verse number 15 and again in verse number 16. Let's reread these verses. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Notice this, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. This morning I want to focus in on the word invisible, invisible. That word is found 5 times in the New Testament, once in Romans, twice in our text, once in 1 Timothy, and finally in the faith chapter. And by the way, that's significant, Hebrews chapter number 11. We're going to see most of these verses this morning. This word invisible comes from a Greek word that's preceded by a negative participle. The Greek word is horeidos. It means capable of being seen. So if something is horeidos, it's capable of being seen. Or it means to gaze upon. This pulpit is horeidos. That pew is horeidos, which means we can see it. We can gaze upon it. But this word is preceded by a negative participle of the word horeidos. And it means not capable of being seen or not able to gaze upon. Now, this word is properly and perfectly rendered in our King James Bible as the word invisible. Doesn't that make sense? Invisible. This pulpit is visible, but there's some things around us that are invisible. Visible and invisible. Today, I want to preach a message entitled The Invisible Creator. The Invisible Creator. Colossians 1:5, who is the image of the invisible creator. The invisible God, one that's not capable of being seen. God is not capable of being seen by my eyes or your eyes. No human being, I don't care what they say. Say, oh, I had a vision of God once. You just had too many pepperonis on your pizza before you went to bed. That's what you had. No, you didn't see God. He's the invisible God. One of the character traits of God is that He is invisible. He's not one that we're able to gaze upon. We're not capable of seeing Him. And so He is invisible. 1 Timothy 1:17, I referenced that verse, says, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, we read past those words, but we ought to stop and say, these are attributes of Almighty God. You see, folks, God is eternal. That means He doesn't have a beginning, doesn't have an end. Since Jesus Christ is part of the Godhead, that's true of Jesus Christ. Not a beginning, not an end. He is immortal, which means He's not human. He's immortal. And so then it goes on to say invisible. Now you'll hear a lot of messages, and we counter the primary doctrine of the fact that God is eternal, that he's immortal, but we don't say a whole lot about invisible. But you know what? That's just as much an attribute and listed alongside these great, great attributes, the great character traits of God. The only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. What this simply means, let me give you the first point. Number one, there is an invisible creator. There is an invisible creator. What this simply means is that when God created man, and then man chose to sin, from that point on, we have been denied the ability to see God. By the way, I don't think that that was the case, Brother Klein, in creation. It says that God came down and walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. What an incredible time that must have been in the human race before sin entered in, where we could not only see God, but we could fellowship with God and interact with God. And he came down and walked with them. You folks, listen to me. Sin, we've gone soft on sin. Hello? In the pulpits all over this country, we've gone soft in sin. In our homes, we've gone soft on sin. I'm sorry, but it's just true. Evangelists have gone soft on sin. I'm sorry, but it's just true. It seems like everybody wants to tiptoe around. We're spending more time trying not to offend somebody than we are just preaching what ought to be preached. And folks, sin is a horrible, wicked thing. Sin had a great price that came with it. One of the things that sin did. I would say, Brother Jerry, what is sin? Sin is, see that tree? Don't eat the fruit of it. You know what sin is? Sin is when God says not to do something, we go ahead and do it anyway. It's a transgression of the law. God's laid down some laws. God says, I got these laws. You're not supposed to do these things. When we do one of those things, we sin. Right. You're supposed to do these things. He gives imperative commands. You are to do these things. When we don't do them, we sin. Right. Sin of commission, sin of omission. And let me say this. We've all sinned. But it's not a light thing. It shouldn't be used as an excuse to walk around in sin. You see, because sin has a heavy price tag that came with it. It cost us more than I think we realize. From the time that man chose to sin, from that point on, we've been denied the ability to see God. We're not capable of viewing our Creator. We're not able to gaze upon Him. And will not be as long as we dwell in these mortals' bodies. Now get this, notice this. The one who created the world is invisible to us. I cannot take you to meet God. Mr. or Mrs. Skeptic, sorry, I can't do that. I can't take you to meet God. I cannot show him to you this morning. He's not going to appear in the church today in bodily form and walk around and shake hands. Now, he is here.
Yes, sir.
The presence of Christ is here where two or three are gathered together in my name. These were his words. I will be in the midst of them. He promised to be here. So he's here. Just because you cannot see him does not mean that he's not here. Just because you are in, it's not, we're not capable to gaze upon him does not mean that he's not here. He is here, but he is invisible. He's invisible. He walks amongst us, but remains invisible to us. And will until the day we see him either in the clouds at that blessed hope, amen, or in death when we are absent from the body but present with the Lord. One of those two times, for the first time ever, we're going to gaze upon an invisible creator. So let me first of all establish this. We're looking at the word invisible today, that we have and there is an invisible creator. Number two, let me give you this thought, still in Colossians. Let's look at verse 16. The invisible creator created both a visible creation and an invisible creation. Now let's read this verse again. Remember, this is speaking of Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. Who's the image of the invisible God? His dear Son. The firstborn of every creature. Who's the firstborn of every creature? His dear Son. For by him, who? His dear Son. Were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. There's his eternal preexistence. And by him all things consist. Not only did Jesus create everything, but he holds together everything. That's exciting. You think about that. Amen. If it wasn't for Christ, If it wasn't for his control over this planet, if it wasn't for the hand of God upon all creation, we would dissipate into a zillion atoms going every direction. The only thing that holds this thing together is Jesus Christ and his presence. Now I want to bring this to your attention. The invisible creator, who is Jesus Christ, the Godhead, part of the Godhead, created both a visible creation and an invisible creation. We're going to spend this month, this is kind of the kickoff sermon for this, but in the month of April, by the way, you ought to just come. You ought to come Sunday morning. You ought to come to Sunday school. You ought to come Sunday night. You ought to come Wednesday night. You know, folks, I know that you enjoy Sunday morning. I'm glad you're here, but I say an awful lot of good things on Sunday night, too. And I say some tremendous things on Wednesday. I try to save my best stuff for Wednesday night. I really do, to reward those that will go the extra mile. But we're going to spend this month, off and on, just about every time I'll come to the pulpit during the month of April, I'm going to be preaching on spiritual warfare. And one of the things we've got to understand is this, folks. There is a part of creation that we can see, and there's a part of creation that is invisible to our mortal eyes. Let me say that again. Not only is the Creator invisible, but he created a part of creation that we can see. We can step right outside that front door and look around and see some of the handiwork of God with our own eyes, our mortal eyes, we can see it. But there's also outside that door a lot of things that are just as real that we cannot see. That we cannot see. Let me give you some examples of this visible creation, invisible creation. There are invisible forces of nature. There are visible forces of nature and invisible forces of nature. There's visible forces of nature and invisible forces of nature. For instance, we can see a rainbow. Matter of fact, God on purpose created the rainbow so that we could see it, so that we could be reminded of the grace of Almighty God and the promise of mercy upon us. I know we've got a lot of rain, folks, lately. And I've heard comments, even at Walmart this week, from somebody that hollered over, "Hey, preacher, should we start building an ark?" But I can assure you that's not necessary. You know why? Because I've seen a rainbow, and I've seen them many times in my life. You know what that tells me? God's promised to never again destroy this earth with water, so we don't have to worry about it, amen? Now, I can see the rainbow, but I can't see the wind. Is that right? Now, you may see what the wind does, and even Jesus talks about that in John chapter number 3. We see what the wind does. We watch the wind blow the tree limbs, but you do not see the wind. You see, there's visible and there's invisible. The clouds, we can see the clouds. We can see that force of nature, the clouds. We can see that creation of God. Those are visible to the eyes. But can I say this? You've never seen gravity. But God created it as a force of nature. So what I'm saying is, number one, there's visible forces of nature and invisible forces of nature. Watch this. Number two, there are visible creatures and invisible creatures. Say, Brother Jerry, where are the visible creatures? Well, if you want to go back with me, this will be kind of fun. Go to Genesis chapter 1 with me, and let's just read about some of the creatures that God created back on the original week of creation. On day 5 and day 6, there were some creatures that God created in that week that are visible creations that we still see and enjoy and get to gaze upon even today. Genesis chapter 1, verse 20. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open and firmament of the heaven." And God created great wells, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the sea, and let fowl multiply in the earth." By the way, I can still go down to the pond and see the fish that are descendants of these fish. I can get on my History Channel or my Discovery Channel and watch the whales that are descendants of these whales. Brother Klein was telling me that just south over here, just on the other side of Linton, there's an eagle that has built a nest. And I can go over there and see that eagle. And you know what? I can see an eagle that's a descendant of an eagle that was created on this day. That's pretty exciting when you think about it, amen? So God created a lot of visible creatures. Look at verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creature after his kind, cattle, creeping things, beasts of the field after his kind. That's where we got deer. Praise God. God gave us deer so we could go deer hunting. Amen. And God gave, and you say, that's a terrible thing. I can't believe you kill animals. Cattle, I think, is listed there. By the way, how was McDonald's this week? Did you have a good time at McDonald's there? Amen. You bloody killer. And creeping things. Yeah, I'm sorry, ladies. Even the spiders. And aren't you so thankful for those ladybugs that are coming out to visit us, you know, taking over the planet right now. And the snakes. Oh, praise God for snakes. Amen. The beast of the earth after his kind. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind and cattle after their kind, everything that creepeth upon the earth. And God saw that it was good. And folks, listen to me. We can go back in the week of creation. We can say God created some creatures. And to this day, we can see the horse. And we can see the deer, and we can see the cattle, and we can see a dog, and we can see a cat. We can see creatures that God created. There is the visible creation, that part of creation that God created that mankind can see with his mortal eyes. Now stay with me. There's also invisible creatures. There's creatures that exist that are just as real as a cow, but you've never seen them. They're just as real as the eagle over there. It's nesting in that tree, but you've never seen them. Let me have you go to Revelation chapter number 4. I hate to ask a Sunday morning crowd to use your Bible this much, but let's just try it and see how it goes. Amen. Revelation chapter number 4. There are some visible creatures. I know I fed some of them this morning before I left the house. And there are some invisible creatures that are just as real, folks. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 6. Revelation 4, 6. Notice this. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal in the midst of the throne. And round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Doesn't sound like anything I've ever seen. And the first beast was like a lion. The second was like a calf. The third beast had a face as a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Notice this. He's just trying to pick out something that the mortal eyes can see that he can somewhat compare it to. Folks, this is not a lion, a calf, and a man, and an eagle. It's just the closest thing John had that we can see to try to give us some idea what he was seeing. Isn't this something? Notice this. And the four beasts which had of them six wings, had each of them six wings about him. And they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Now let me just say this, folks. What I just read to you, those four beasts are just as real as any cattle, any cow, any dog, any visible creature that you've ever seen on this planet. They are just as real. And they were created by God. You see, there's visible creation and there's invisible creation. Revelation chapter 12. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. Let's read just a little bit about another created being. In verse number 3, Revelation 12, verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and had cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And we're going to read on, but folks, those of you that are familiar with the book of Revelation know this is speaking about Lucifer, Satan. That fallen archangel that when he fell was so good at his deception that he was able to convince a third of God's created angels to follow him out of heaven, out of the presence of Almighty God. Wow. Isn't that something? Verse 5, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And notice this, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Watch this, folks. This is a real war. These are creatures that are fighting each other. These are real creatures. And you know what? None of us will see this. And by the way, this isn't the only spiritual war that is chronicled in the Bible. There are spiritual battles happening around us every single day. Every single day. Verse 8, and prevailed not, neither was there found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Folks, I'm just taking a little part of Revelation. I'm not doing a proper job of trying to teach this all in context. I'm just bringing out one point here. You know what? The devil is real. You've never seen him, but he's real. The demons that Jesus cast out in the New Testament are still on this earth and still active. Yes, some of those angels that fell with Satan have been chained in chains of darkness and hell awaiting judgment, but some of them are run loose and allowed to do his bidding. There is a spiritual army. There is an evil force. There's an evil presence. There's creatures that have turned against God, and now they hate his creation, and they do everything they can to inflict pain and misery and deceit and try to deceive people and try to keep them from getting saved and try to distract them from a message that's being preached right now. They'll do anything they can to try to keep you from listening this morning. You know why? They want you to believe the religion of humanism. They want you to believe what you've been taught since you walked into the public school system. By the way, everybody goes to church. All of our kids go to church. All of our kids are studying some religion. Some assemble in the house of God and hear the truth, and some assemble the public school system and are taught humanism. And humanism is as much a religion as Christianity. And you know what humanism is telling us? If you can't see it, it's not so. If you can't prove it, it's not so. If you can't prove it with a scientific experiment, if science doesn't say it so, it's not so. But what they don't understand is that they can only perform scientific experiments on the visible part of God's creation. But I'm here to tell you that God has stated in his word that this invisible creator that science will never meet, atheists, scientists will never meet till they stand before him and bow their knee and confess that he is the Christ, that he is the creator, that they were wrong. There's an invisible part of creation that's all around us, and it's just as real. The invisible is just as real as the visible. Folks, listen to me. You young people, I need to say this every once in a while. Folks, listen, I'm not mad at you if you have your young people in a public school, but I am telling you this. They're being taught. They're being taught that there was no creator. They're being taught that we're all just a product of evolution. They're being taught if you can't prove it by science, it's not so. Religion is scoffed at in the science rooms all across the United States of America. And it doesn't start in college, and it doesn't start in high school. It starts way down in the elementary. And what I'm saying is this, folks, listen to me. I mean, a preacher's got, listen, they've got you for 40 hours a week. I only got you for 40 minutes or so. And I got to from time to time tell you, listen, I'm going to tell you there's some things that you can perform science on. And you can perform experiments on. But there's a whole segment of creation that no man has ever seen. But it's just as real. They don't believe in God because they can't put him in a test tube. But God's too big to fit in any test tube. He's too powerful to be seen in every test tube. And if he did come down and we did see him, we would be instantly killed, instantly annihilated, because no man can see God. You see? So there's a visible creation, an invisible creation. There's invisible forces, invisible forces. There's invisible creatures, invisible creatures. And by the way, Satan's not the only one that's got his group of invisible creatures that serve him. Thank God, God has those beasts that stand before his throne and cry, "Holy, holy, holy." Thank God, God's got a whole bunch of. Listen, he may have had a third that follows Satan, but he's got two thirds that are just fine. Amen. Michael the Archangel and Gabriel leads those two bands. And let me tell you something. They're active. They're here today. We met before church. We prayed that they'd surround this church and build a hedge about this church. We prayed that they would guard against Satan distraction. Let the Holy Spirit come in power and do His work and speak to hearts that are lost and speak to Christians that are backslidden. And listen to me. I'm telling you, there's a spiritual warfare that goes on every day of your life around you, that just because you do not see it, it doesn't make it just as real. I wonder if we ever had if we could get a newspaper, a newspaper reporter. This isn't going to happen, but wouldn't it be neat if we got a paper, one paper you could buy that gave you updates on the war that's going on that we can't see? By the way, it might scare us. Might drive us to our knees. I wonder if the news from that newspaper would discourage us. I wonder if it would cause us to say, you know what? We're not winning because we're not praying. We're not winning because we're not pure. We're not winning because we don't believe. We act as though the invisible doesn't exist. We walk through life as if all we have is what we see. And I'm here to tell you that there is an invisible creator who created a visible creation, but he also created an invisible creation. There are visible forces of nature, invisible forces. There are visible creatures and invisible creatures. Watch this. There are visible principalities and invisible principalities. Stay with me here. We're laying some groundwork, amen, for what we're going to be studying this month. Go back, if you will, to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. There are visible principalities. Verse 16, Colossians chapter 1, I'm sorry, Colossians 1, verse number 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones. You know what he's saying? There's visible thrones and there's invisible thrones. Or dominions. There's visible dominions, there's invisible dominions. Or principalities. There's visible principalities, there's invisible principalities. Or powers. There's visible powers, and there's invisible powers. You know, I just mentioned the newspaper and our media. Folks, you know what? They go around the world, and they've got people stationed in every country. And you know what their job is? To report on all of the different powers and kings and rulers and principalities. And all they see is the power shifts and who seems to be in control and what group is winning over here. And all they see is the visible powers, the visible dominions. They could take a globe and they could show you where the boundary marks are and what group of people control what. But the honest truth is there's a whole nother globe. There's a whole nother lines being divided. There's also spiritual warfare going on. There's spiritual dominions. There's spiritual thrones. There's spiritual principalities. There's spiritual powers. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 6 tells us, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Christians, our battle is not with the human race. Our battle is not with communism. Our battle is not with, even though we must fight some wars and take some stands, folks, the real battle is a spiritual battle. It's not against another country or some dictator. You know what it's against? It's against Satan himself. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, I just wonder what would happen if people who claim to be saved would decide to believe the Bible and realize there's things going on around them that's more important than some of the petty stuff that we focus in on all the time. 2 Corinthians 10:1. Let me read this. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, and being absent and bold towards you, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with you, that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds. Brother Jerry, we have a free country. Let me tell you, there's cities right around us, there's burgs right around us that are not free. There are thrones. There's demonic control. There's certain neighborhoods in certain of the little burgs that's right around us that are spiritual satanic strongholds. Say, what do you do, Brother Jerry? We whiz right through their streets with a red and white bus and snatch children right out of Satan's backyard and bring them here and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. That's what we do. This isn't some game. This is something. Listen, what are all you focused on? What are you all worried about? What's grabbed your attention? What are you so focused on? See, Satan will bring anything in your life to get you all focused on anything other than what's going on around us. Brother Jerry, why are we having a Spring New Life campaign? Why are we trying to get increased numbers? Why are we planning this big day? I'll tell you why. Because there's a war going on. Hey, hello, there's a war going on. There's certain burgs around here. I'm talking about right in here. I'm not going to name names. If you've got any spiritual discernment about you, there's certain burgs you can go into and drive into. And if you are Holy Spirit filled, if you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you feel a demonic oppression in certain areas, in certain neighborhoods, around certain homes. Satan has strongholds. I pulled up in front of houses and had the hair stand on the back of my neck. I'm not trying to be spooky. I'm just telling you that Satan has strongholds. He has a hold of people and he don't want to let them go. He has a hold of families. I'm talking about extended families. And he's had a hold of them for generations. And you know what? We keep busting in there trying to snatch one of them, win one of them, and get a missionary in that family and turn that family. And you know what? Satan doesn't like it, and he fights us tooth and nail. Brother Jerry, why do you get up early? Why do you stay out late? Why do you knock doors? Why do we pay the money to run these buses? Because we can't just, listen, that the gates of hell should not prevail against us. We're supposed to go on the attack. We're supposed to go right into those dominions with the armor of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And we're supposed to take the gospel of Jesus Christ right into Satan's strongholds. You know what? People can be saved right in Satan's strongholds. You know what? Because greater than he that is in us than he that is in the world. Man alive. Help us to have our eyes opened a little bit. There's visible forces, invisible. There's visible creatures, invisible creatures. Visible principalities, invisible principalities. There are, don't miss this, there's visible places and invisible places. Now, God created some visible places. I've got to see a lot of them. Some of you that's traveled a little bit, maybe you've been blessed to go and see part of America. Aren't there some beautiful places? I got to stand by the Grand Canyon and look at that thing and said, oh my goodness sakes. Have some idiot tour guide trying to tell me how many billions of years it took for water to trickle down and create the Grand Canyon. I said, excuse me. It happened in a millisecond. God said, let it be, and it was so. Kind of blew his presentation up a little bit there, amen. What in the world? Oh, but Brother Jerry, I studied him when I was in the public school system about the Ice Age and blah, blah, blah. I know, you've been brainwashed, but you can find a Bible. There's nothing on this planet that's over 6,000 years old. There's nothing on this planet that's over 6,000 years old. There's nothing on this planet that's over 6,000 years old. Everybody else scared to say it. Scared we won't sound scientific. Listen, let me tell you this, folks. God said it. You know what I think? I think God on purpose. I'm just going to share what I think. I think God on purpose created the earth in such a way that if we want to be heathen, pagan, atheists, we can misinterpret creation. I mean, he just left enough loopholes and left enough things to say, you know what? If you want to be a pagan, then be one. If you want to open the Bible and read Genesis 1 and 2 and believe it, then believe it. Amen. There's visible places. I've counted up the other day, just for fun. I've got to go visit 23 of the 50 states of the United States of America. Isn't that a blessing? I go to the other ones, but I'm wanted in all of them. So I try to avoid the rest of them. I've gotten to preach in 15 of those 23 states. I showed up the other ones to preach. They wouldn't let me. I don't know what happened there, but maybe they heard a tape or something. I don't know, but I've gotten to see some things. I've got to go to Canada. I've got to go to Mexico. I've gotten to see some things. Listen to me, folks. There's places that God created that you can get in your car and you can drive to and you can look on and see with your eyes. But you know what? There's places that God created. And we're done here, but please listen to me. There's some places God's created that you've never seen. And you never will until it's too late to do anything about them. See, God did create a heaven. He's got a big construction project going on right now. He's building mansions. You know what? There is a place where there's a mansion for every born-again believer. Unless you got an NIV and then you just got like a Motel 6 room or something like that. I don't know. I don't know. Whatever. You got an NIV, you got other problems too. But no, there is. There really is a place where we're going to walk one of these days and we're going to look down. And it's not just gold streets, but the gold is so pure, it's going to be like a mirror. It's going to be a perfect reflection. Isn't that going to be awesome? There's a place where there's no sun, no moon, no stars. They don't need to be. And by the way, Jesus is the light and there's no shadow. You know why? You know, that's amazing. You know why? Because Jesus is omniscient. He's omnipresent. Our sun always creates a shadow. There's always a dark spot even when the sun's out. But you know what? Jesus is omnipresent. No matter where you're at, there's light in heaven. I mean, one of these days we're going to walk up, we're going to go, oh my goodness sakes. And we're going to think of the buildings that we tried to build here, Brother Charles, and talk about the foundations. And I can see Brother Charles and Brother Townsley checking out the foundations, trying to figure out how in the world God built that thing, you know, and measuring stuff and talking. There'll be a bunch of men over there from Blessed Hope trying to figure out how they did this, you know. Wow, like nothing we've ever seen. I love that new building. It's a beautiful building. God's blessed us, but I'm going to tell you, it's going to look like an outhouse compared to where we're going. And a poorly constructed outhouse. I'm sorry, but it's not a God building. It's going to be used for God, but it wasn't created by God. Amen. Isn't that something? That's a real place. You know what? If you're saved and you die and breathe your last breath, you're going to wake up in that place. The Bible says that the angels ushered Lazarus into the presence of God. That's not something. I spoke on that on the radio broadcast. I got so excited on the radio broadcast this week when I was taping. I'm scared to listen to it later on. I'm going to sound like some raving maniac on the radio. But I got to talking about death and the fact that in the Bible, it just Jesus, when he talked about death, he kept saying they fell asleep. And let me tell you this. Don't miss this. If you are saved, you have eternal life. You will not one day get eternal life. Jesus says, God promised you have it now. That's why we don't talk about death. Death is not used in the conversation of a Christian. We just fall asleep here and wake up in heaven. I mean, I believe God comes down and envelops the spirit and soul of a believer. And I think that transport up to heaven. I know sometimes, let me just share this with you and help some of you families. I know sometimes in those last waning moments and weeks, there seems to be a lot of suffering. I know that sometimes people died traumatic deaths, but listen to me. Stephen was stoned to death, and the Bible said he fell asleep. I just think our God's powerful enough. Listen, he gave you saving grace, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
He's given you living grace, hasn't he?
Yes.
There's something called dying grace. It's something awful sweet. And I believe that something happens inside of an individual during those moments before death and around death. And I believe a peace and a protection comes upon the soul, the spirit, and man. And I don't care how they die. If they're a Christian, they fell asleep. That was free, but that'll help you if you'll take it home with you. Amen. Amen. There's a heaven, but let me tell you something else. There's a horrible, horrible place called hell, and it's invisible to our eyes, and no person, no mortal on this earth has ever seen it, but it's just as real as Jacksonville. It's just as real as Lent. It's just as real as the Grand Canyon. It's just as real of any other visual creation that you can go and look and see. And the rich man died, the Bible says, also and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torment. I don't know a thing about this rich man. Very little information is given. We know that he wasn't saved. I wonder if any of those drunken parties, you know, that rich lost people have that serve and worship other gods in that day, I wonder if any of them ever laughed and joked about this Christian's ideal of hell. Now they say I'm going to hell. Grandma says I'm going to hell. I'm going to tell you there's a bunch of my friends going with me. We'll just have a big party. No, yeah. There's no party going on down there. You read Luke 16. There's no party going on. You know what there is? There's a lot of begging, a lot of pleading, a lot of praying, but it's too late to pray. That rich man lifted up his eyes in hell and he prayed three things and asked for three things. He prayed. You know, people won't pray here, but they'll pray in hell. People won't believe here, but they'll believe in hell. Well, I don't. You sit there. I've talked to them out on the street. They swear they don't believe in God. Let me tell you, there's no atheist in hell. No atheist in hell. And what I mean by that is 2 or 3 seconds after you're there, you'll believe everything you were ever told and everything you ever heard from the Bible, but it'll be too late. He prayed for mercy. You know what the answer was? No! He prayed for a drop of water. No! He prayed for Lazarus to go back and witness to his friends. No! You know why? Nobody's ever got a prayer answered in hell. You'll be praying, but there'll be no answer. It's a real place. There's a visible creation. There's an invisible creation. There's invisible places. There's invisible places. And folks, we can't see heaven, but you know what? It's real. We can't see hell, but I guarantee you it's real, and the invisible creator created it. Jesus in Revelation chapter number 1 has the keys to hell right there on his belt. He didn't create it for mankind. He created it for those angels that vacated heaven with Satan. But when mankind chose to listen to Satan and also follow Satan and follow the path of sin, then we also inherited the destination that sin leads to. But thank God for a Savior. Thank God that at that point the Creator, this invisible Creator, didn't look at his creation and say, "All right, you all just chose sin, and that's where you want to, what you want to do, and that's who you want to listen to. Fine." He could have just turned his back on us and went to another space in eternity, and another space, and created a new universe and start all over again and let us go our way and go to our natural end, and every single person end up in hell. I don't understand this, but my Bible says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." No man saw this conversation, but a plan was hatched in heaven. And God and the Holy Spirit and the Son of God said, "Let's redeem man." And Jesus said, "I'll go." And he was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life. And when he died, he paid the penalty of sin. He didn't die to pay for his sins. He died to pay for ours. He didn't have any sins. He was the perfect, sinless Son of God. Now here's the incredible thing. They bury him. He raises again the third day, and he sits on the throne of heaven. He's gift wrapped a gift called eternal life. And he said this. This is what the message of the Bible is. I know you can't see me. I'm invisible, but I'm going to give you a visible book. I know you can't hear my words, but I'm going to write some down, and you can read them with your own eyes. And it's going to tell you that if you'll realize that you're a sinner and come to me and repent of that sin and ask for forgiveness, and you'll understand the gospel, that I died for you, was buried, and rose again. And if you'll call upon me, believing in my heart that I'm the Savior, I'll save you. Say, "Wait a minute, Brother Jerry, wait a minute. I'll believe it if I can see it." But my Bible says this. My Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." You know why? Let me just give this to you. You know why the invisible Creator created an invisible creation in invisible places? Because he wanted you to choose to believe in him without any evidence. He said, "Now I've got a creation. If you look at it, think about it. Somebody made that. He gave us some things to look at. But there's part of creation we can't see." You know what God says? God said, I'll give you a book, and I'll tell you that all these things exist. Now choose. You choose to believe in them, or you choose to not believe in them. Let me read you this verse, John 3:36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." And people all over this country of ours and all around the world are making a decision to believe or not to believe. Do you believe that there's an invisible Creator? You get to choose. I've talked to a lot of people, said, "No, I don't believe it." Sorry, I just don't believe that. Do you believe that we were created in 6 days? This entire world was created in 6 days? I'm sorry, I just don't believe that. I've been in too many science classes. You've been in too many brainwashing sessions. You have a false religion that's been taught you. An atheistic, godless religion that you choose to believe. And by the way, you have to believe that by faith too. You have to believe that by faith too. You got this? You getting this? Jesus said, do you believe I'm the Son of God? Do you believe I came 2,000 years ago and was born of a virgin? Do you believe I pre-existed as God? Do you believe I lived a perfect life? Do you believe I died on the cross for your sins? Do you believe I was buried and rose again? You know what? There's children in this room that have said with a pure heart, in pure childlike faith, I believe that. I believe that. Do you believe that if you'll call upon me and ask me to save you, I'll save you? I believe that. There's probably right now, I'm just going to tell you, there's probably right now, children in children's church, where somebody's got a Bible open, they're sharing the things I'm sharing with you, and little children with that childlike faith said, I believe that. Why do they so easily believe it? Because it was put in us by God that it's true. And that's why the devil has to get so busy to try to get us to change our minds about it. Change our minds about it. The invisible creator and his invisible creation can only be seen and accepted by faith. By faith. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, for these that are here gathered. Thank you, Lord, for sharing with us in the Bible an explanation of these things. It helps us to understand. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by God. And God, you are an invisible God. You've chosen to exist in that realm. You've asked us to believe in you by faith. You sent your Son, and men got to behold him. John wrote that they beheld him, God in flesh. More evidence to help us to believe. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you that he was virgin born. Thank you that he lived a perfect life. Thank you that he died. Thank you that he rose again. He sits on a throne that we cannot see. He offers a gift that's an invisible gift, but it's as real or more real than any gift we've ever been offered. And that gift is eternal life. I pray, Lord, that you speak to the hearts of each and every one here. If there's someone here that's not saved, Lord, don't let them die in their sins and in hell lift up their eyes being in torment. The believing will start then. The praying will start then. But it's too late. Lord, this morning let them believe. This morning let them call out and ask to be saved. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Preacher, while you were preaching, God in heaven, you said he was here. Well, he is, because he's been speaking to my heart. There's something going on inside of me that I can't explain and I don't understand. But all I know is God's got my full attention. If I died right now, I don't know what would happen to me. If I died right now, I don't know what. I fear, preacher, what would happen. I fear what would happen. I fear where I might go. I got good news for you. God loves you. Jesus loves you. And he brought you here today because he wants you to come to an invisible place called heaven. And he's willing to forgive you of your sins. He's willing to save you. And if you do not know for sure that you're saved, I pray today you would step from your seat in just a moment to the nearest aisle, come forward when we sing the invitation, and let somebody take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Our heads bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. Let me pray for you. I won't come get you. I won't embarrass you. I won't call your name. I won't point you out. I promise all those things. Preacher, God's speaking to my heart. I'm lost. I need to be saved. Pray for me. I'm lost and I need to be saved. Would you slip your hand up so I can pray for you? I'm lost and I need to be saved. Pray for me. I'm lost and I need to be saved. Pray for me. I've never been saved. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd continue to work, continue to speak in hearts, Lord. You know those that I'm praying for. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd make yourself real. God, help us as Christians not to focus, as Brother Gabbard finished the Sunday school lesson, not to focus on the temporal. Lord, the things that are visible are temporal. The things that are invisible are eternal. Lord, I pray, God, that we'd focus on those things that we cannot see. Moses endured as seeing him who was invisible. Moses kept his eyes on things that he could not see. Well, it's hard for us to understand, but he was a great man of faith. build our faith. Help us, Lord, to live on a different plane than the rest of the world lives on. Help us to count as important different things. Help us to see different things. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.